Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's great to have you with us today as we will take you for the next about hour and a half, hour 40 minutes. We lead you into our coverage of St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Cardinals-Giants game two of a three-game series after a good win. Good win. In case you didn't stick with us all the way to the end yesterday, it was a good win for the Cardinals. They won 6-5. Good win for the good performance from the bullpen as well. Not all the A guys being used. They had some guys down. So like a Ryan Fernandez came out and did his job yesterday and did it well. So that was good to see when there's this little time left in the season and you're really not going to be a playoff team. You kind of look for every single game. Okay, what value was there in this one? And I actually think the value in yesterday's game was what we saw from Ryan Fernandez. I had to chuckle today. If you were with us during Redbird Rush Hour, you heard Oliver Marmol talking through where they're at with Yvonne Herrera, and he opened up the cut talking about how Herrera was so excited to hit one yesterday off of Verlander. And that's cool. Like, that's, you know, Verlander's one of the all-time greats. Verlander's a future Hall of Famer. Verlander's all this stuff. And you got a young guy like Yvonne Herrera who hits a home run off of him. And forever and ever, Herrera can say that he got Verlander. So that was a good part of yesterday's game for sure. As always, if you want to chime in with us, you can call in at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, feel free to leave a comment in the chat, and we will get to those as we go along through the evening. The news of the day is the ABS system coming in. We talked about it a bunch on Redbird Rush Hour. I don't want to completely repeat what I said earlier, but in case you're just joining, I'm happy. I'm really happy. I like it. I think it fixes. You're going to pick and choose where you use it. There's going to be a strategy to how you use it. It's going to, honestly, it's going to help hitters, I think, understand the strike zone that much better. Because if you know that you can get a strike back or you can get a ball added, whatever it might be, being able to know the strike zone, that's going to be something that's going to be beneficial and valuable to a club. So I'm glad that's coming next year. I had the benefit of being able to see it play out during spring training because they used it during the spring. It was great. I loved it. I talked about it in Redbird Rush Hour the fact that there's such a kind of a showmanship aspect to it where it's just like tennis, and the actual technology is very similar to the tennis one. If you don't watch a lot of tennis, that's fine. You can challenge whether or not a ball's on the line or not in tennis, and there's basically a video illustration that shows where the tennis ball landed. That's going to be that's what it is. It's the same type of technology. There's going to be cameras in every single ballpark, very high level cameras. The margin of error for the cameras is going to be 1/6 of an inch. So that's how close they are going to be able to that's how close they're going to be able to get it. I like it. I'm happy with it. So that's going to be good. I chuckle a little bit because just got a text message because I'm talking as if the season will be over at the end of this week, which I think it will be. But I just got a text message from somebody, and it reads, the Cardinals have a chance to slide in the playoffs, right? From a mathematical standpoint, yes. From a practical standpoint, no. Cardinals are 3.5 games back. They would need the Reds and the Mets and the Diamondbacks to all lose a lot of games over the next 5 days. And just they in all likelihood will be eliminated as we get into the weekend. But they are not yet mathematically eliminated. And that takes, I wasn't totally planning. I always pull a few cuts from Oliver Marmol's Tuesday conversation with the Gas House Gang. We only used one of them today on Redbird Rush Hour. This one was the other one that I thought was kind of interesting that that Ollie had to say today. He was asked about his regrets for the season, because when all is said and done, Cardinals are going to miss the playoffs probably by 2, 3, 4, at the most 5 games. Not really that much. They're 3.5 back right now. So this was what Ollie had to say today when it comes to where is he at from a regret standpoint.
Man, the thing that sticks out that is disappointing, and it's probably more on my, I wish I could have done more leading into the trade deadline in order to keep some guys and maybe just add a small piece to give us a shot. You look at where we're at today, we're 3 or 3.5 out, whatever the case may be, after losing those three guys and having Donovan out for a while, Contreras out for a while, Burley out for a while, Nato out for a ton of time, Mason Wynn. And it's you get to the end. The only reason you do this is to win. That is the only you do this in order to get to this point of the season and have a shot to play some games in October, and that's the fun part. So that's the part that gets me every morning over the last 10 days or so. It's like, damn it, we're so close, and I wish I could have done something different, something a little bit better leading into that trade deadline to give ourselves a shot. But unfortunately, here's where we're at, and what I'd love is our guys are still taking their best shot. They're not going to give in until that last game, which is awesome.
So yeah, and I've said this over and over the last few days. We can evaluate this team from two different perspectives. One perspective is they're just barely out of the playoffs. They are an almost playoff team. So if you want to view them as how far are they from being a team that can just get into the playoffs, not that far. They're 3.5 games out right now with 5 games to go. That you don't have to squint that much to see a small thing here, a small thing there to make up that ground. So they're very close to being a playoff club. How close are they to being a team that's a legit contender for the World Series, that you just look at the roster and go, this team can play with anybody on any given night. This team can win a short season series. This team can win a long series. This team is just built to win. They're far away from that. That is something that they still have a ways to go. So you can be close to the postseason, but far from the World Series. And I know there's people who are saying, well, you can always go on a run. You can always go on a miraculous run. And I always respond with, hope's not a strategy. Are there situations where not very good teams go on great playoff runs? Yeah, it happens. But if that's what you're planning for, I would push back and say, that's not what to plan for. So that's where the club is at right now. We'll continue to talk Cardinals baseball as we go through the course of the evening. But up next, we're going to talk with John Morosi. He recently did a long-form conversation with Scott Rolen as part of his Road to Cooperstown show series. It was fantastic. I listened to it last night. I loved it. And we'll talk through that a little bit coming up in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are taking you up until coverage of Cardinals baseball tonight. They are in San Francisco going to match up against the Giants. Andre Pallante against Logan Webb, the pitching matchup. I'm really excited about this next conversation. Last night, I listened to the Road to Cooperstown show where John Morosi spoke with Scott Rolen, and it is so good. I was at one point, it was time for me to go to bed. I was like, I can't go to bed until I finish this. I really enjoyed it. And with that, we do welcome John Morosi onto the program. John, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you?
Well, Matt, thank you so much for the invitation to be on the show today. Really appreciate it. And thanks for the kind words on the podcast as well. Thank you so much.
So for people who are not familiar, you talk with Hall of Famers, and the conversations are largely based around their path to their baseball journey. And also you'll pick out some pieces from their Hall of Fame speech and kind of ask some follow-up questions on that. What led to, you know, starting this show? Because it's such a great idea, and these conversations are so amazing, and it's just great that these things are happening just for us to have forever and ever.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. And to be honest, the journey of hosting the podcast is really one of the great honors I've had in my career and my life, to be honest with you, because when I think about it, and I'm a father now myself, and I look at my kids and say, wait a minute, if you had told me when I was their age that it'd be part of my job to interview Hall of Famers for an hour at a time and ask them about their path and even the adversity they face, that's a big part of it as well. On the road to Cooperstown, it's really a dream job in a lot of ways. And I'm fortunate it's a collaboration, Matt, between the Hall of Fame itself and MLB Network Radio and Sirius XM. So basically the podcast airs every Saturday morning on Sirius XM Channel 89, and then it becomes available everywhere you get your podcast on Tuesday. And that's the routine. Our very ambitious goal is to interview every living Hall of Famer. Now, we have not yet completed it, but that's okay. We're still working towards it. But I've been grateful to speak with a lot of the greatest players ever, and very gracious in the interviews. And I would say, Matt, one of the surprises in some ways has been how comfortable they are talking about the tougher times. We've had players that are really tough that will shed a tear. Larry Walker, at the very end of our conversation, he was crying a little bit, touching on things about just the stress of playing the game and perspective they get after they retire. And Todd Helton referenced just his journey and how it took some time transitioning away from the game and just the mental strain of that. It was really, it's been an amazing experience to hear that these players who are at the peak of their profession, Matt, by talking about their struggles, they become more relatable and also even greater, right? Because they go through the same stuff that all of us go through in life, but then are able to do things that really no one else can do on the field. So just a lot of great conversations. Ted Simmons was one of my favorite episodes too. But I thought with Scott Rolen, and I encourage Cardinal fans to listen to it, I think one of my favorite parts of the whole podcast was what he shared about the 2006 stretch run in playoffs, about how, of course, as Cardinal fans know, he was out of the lineup for a while because of injury, then his shoulder wasn't responding, and Tony sat him a little bit, and there was some friction there between a couple of really proud guys who were both in the Hall of Fame, and Scott basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, Tony was doing what he had to do, and I was doing what I felt I had to do, and he said now their relationship is better than it's ever been. But you could just tell, and I remember even watching it and covering it at the time, you just had two really proud guys who love the game and want to be accountable in every possible way. And there was at times where that caused friction. And that's normal. And I think that now you when you're in it, I'm sure for Scott and for Tony it was uncomfortable. But now you look at it with years of remove and perspective, and Scott just has this amazing way of looking back at things and understanding maybe how it was that he interacted with the game. He even talked about how later on in his career when he was with the Reds, how sometimes having days off was good for him mentally because he was the kind of player, and again, Cardinal fans listening know this, who just grinded every single minute of every day that he was at Busch Stadium. There's no such thing as a moment off that he had. And I think that he, in time, later on in his career with the Reds, I think embraced those chances when Dusty Baker said, okay, Scott, you're off today. Be a dad. Be with your family a little bit more before the game. I think it freed him up mentally to really enjoy that last chapter of his career in Cincinnati.
I laughed out loud when he said the thing about when they told him, tell us when you need a day off. And he said, I'm not going to tell you that, but I won't get mad when you give me one.
that's not going to happen. Yeah. Basically, it's like the only concession he had, Matt, was I will not I won't turn the spread over and trash the place if you tell me I got to have a day off. But like that is as close to asking for a day off as you would get, just to say, okay, Skip, I gotcha, and then just be okay with it. But it's that intensity that is why he's such a special player. And I think that, you know, if you listen to his Hall of Fame speeches, I'm sure you did, the great wisdom of his dad from the basketball camp that he went to in West Lafayette as an 18-year-old, about how he said, you know, Dad, I'm out of basketball shape. I can't dribble, can't shoot, can't do anything. But basically his dad said, well, but can you hustle? Can you dive for loose balls? Can you box out? And it's that way of looking at life to, again, no matter what you're doing in life, there's going to be hard times. And that was a hard time for an 18-year-old Scott Rolen. And the wisdom of that was you just fight through and do the things that require no talent, right? It's just, can you dive? Can you give max effort? Yeah, I can do those things. Okay, then do that. Do mm-hmm. that then was the part of the wisdom. And I just think that speech, Matt, for me, is just, you know, someone who's around youth sports and just kids in general, I try to bring little pieces of that and share that wisdom and say, well, to my kids, you may not want to listen to me, but Mr. Rowland's in the Hall of Fame, so maybe take a listen to what he has to say about things. And it does, I think, resonate, Matt, a little more when it comes to a Hall of Famer.
I don't want to give too much of the conversation away because it's fantastic, but I want to get into a couple other things that I thought were notable. He told the story of when he tried to, you know, attempt to just make things better with Tony La Russa. And I could see it in my mind because he talked about when you walk in at Busch Stadium, you have to walk by the home clubhouse to get over to the visiting clubhouse.
Right.
And he just made the decision to go in, ask if Tony was in his office. And he went in there and basically said, I'm done. And it wasn't like they hugged it out or anything in that moment. But, John, it seemed like that was the moment that laid the groundwork for those two eventually to have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Matt. And I thought that was a pretty cool description. And again, Scott, knowing Scott, like, he wasn't going to necessarily walk in and say, I'm sorry, and then collapse into tears and give him a big hug. That's not really how he operates. But him saying, I'm done with the back and forth and any sort of holding of a grudge, that was about as far as he was going to go, and that was perfect. Because guess what? Tony's the same way. Right? And so that I think, just from knowing them both as I do, that made me smile. And actually, Tony, I just got word we're hoping to talk with him next week. I can't wait for that conversation too, because, you know, whether it's the Jim Leland angle or the Rolland angle, my other favorite part about this is how often the stories of different Hall of Famers intersect with the other. And of course, on the 04 Cardinals, there was Larry Walker, there was Scott. Of course, Albert one day we'll be doing this interview with. It was interesting too. And one of the things that I think was probably in the first half of that podcast, as I'm thinking back on the conversation, we talked about the 04 NLCS and just how many great players were in that NLCS. Of course, it was going on at the same time as the iconic Red Sox comeback. But for me, that was one of the great postseason series that is just not talked about enough. All of the late lead changes, the Kent walk-off, the Edmonds walk-off, Edmonds catch, just moments, rolling in a big home run, just really great players having great series. Beltran, I mean, again, he's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame soon, of course, also a Cardinal. Berkman, you could easily make a case, of course, both an Astro and a Cardinal. Edmonds, I think you can make a case for. Just, I mean, think about all, not just the personalities and the players, but just these historic figures in the history of the game that were involved in that series. So, I just thought it was a really fun way to kind of get in the conversation. We talked about Philly. Of course, his exit there was kind of tough. He talked about actually walking off as the last out of the 2012 NLDS. So I think, Matt, for me, I'm lucky that, you know, I guess I've been around long enough that a lot of the players now I've covered or had a relationship in some way. And it's interesting how when you cover enough postseasons, there are certain games and moments and series that just kind of like are bookmarked in your mind. Like, I remember how the ballpark sounded that night or how it felt when I was there. that's just from being, you know, blessed to be around the ballpark enough to get a few stories to tell, and then hopefully that to know how to ask the right questions. And really, my gratitude goes to the players themselves and the Hall of Fame managers, because they really are, they're special. And it's a great privilege to be able to have these conversations.
Final thing I wanted to ask you about, and it leads right into what you just said. He didn't get the opportunity to thank everybody in his speech, but what he did was he grabbed some Hall of Fame stationery in Cooperstown and wrote letters to all these people that had impacted his baseball journey. And all I could think of, what greater like piece of baseball memorabilia could there be than receiving a letter from a Hall of Famer on Hall of Fame stationery telling you how much you mean to him? Just a really cool thing he did.
You know what, Matt? That's one of my favorite parts of the conversation, too, because you could either have a second or two of your name being mentioned in the speech, which is great, don't get me wrong, or you could have what I'm sure is the case for all those people that he wrote those letters to. I would venture to say about 90% of those are now framed in the home offices of the people that receive them, because that is a treasure among treasures. And so the story was that Scott was thinking about, okay, how am I going to handle this speech, and how am I going to have a chance to thank everybody that I want to? And the way that he kind of made his peace with it was, okay, I'm going to, instead of thanking everybody, because it's impossible to do that, I'm going to actually write these letters on the Hall of Fame stationery. And he was talking about how he was in the Hall of Fame gift shop, and he asked Whitney Horn, does such a great job in the communications department there and events planning. He basically said, hey, can I have some of these? Like, yeah, sure you can, Scott. You're good. You're a Hall of Famer. You can have the stationery. And so then he wrote a handwritten note thanking a number of people. So I just thought it was a touch of class. And certainly, Matt, you're in the Midwest. I'm in the Midwest. Scott's from Indiana. I do think that's one of the great parts of our culture. I try to instill it too, and my mom certainly passed it on to me. Like, Johnny, write your thank you notes. So how cool is that? That's like the ultimate thank you note. When you get a thank you note from a Hall of Famer about, hey, I appreciate what you did to help me get here, that's about as cool of a thank you note as there ever is going to be written.
I listened last night on the SiriusXM app. If people want to get in contact with this and listen to this amazing conversation with which we barely touched the surface on, where are the various places that they can find Road to Cooperstown?
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, so in the SiriusXM app, you can get it. There's a great record there of all the episodes that we've had. This is season two, so we've got plenty of them. As I mentioned, some other Cardinal greats, Larry Walker already in there, Ted Simmons too. And so you can get them there, either in the app or wherever you get your podcast. If you're an Apple Podcast person, just search Road to Cooperstown. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Billy Wagner, a longtime nemesis of the Cardinals, he's the latest episode. And then actually next week, I believe, will be Tony Perez and actually his son Eduardo joined us too. The first time we had a son join in, but I felt like with Eduardo being part of the MLB Network Radio family, it was a perfect way to bring in a co-host, if you will, for that one. That was a lot of fun too.
John, I mean, I so enjoyed the conversation, and I've heard a bunch of them, and they're all really, really good. Thank you for doing this. Thanks to the Hall of Fame for allowing you to do this, and I hope we can talk about many more of these conversations moving forward, because it's so much fun.
Well, thank you, Matt. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and please reach out anytime. I think next year is going to be a brighter year for the Cardinals. They'll probably have a busy offseason, which I'm sure we can get to in our next conversation. But I always enjoy being in St. Louis. What a great baseball town, and look forward to the next conversation.
Awesome. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Matt. You too.
That's John Morosi joining us. We talked to him mainly about the road to Cooperstown. Of course, you see John all over the place with MLB Network, and he's amazing baseball insider. When I started that conversation, I thought we'd get into some other stuff, but the Scott Rolen conversation was so good. Road to Cooperstown, find it wherever you get your podcast, SiriusXM as well. It's just over an hour, I believe, him and Rolen talking through his baseball journey. It is fantastic. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're back with more in just a moment on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Taking you for about another hour or so, our coverage of Cardinals baseball begins tonight at 7:50 as the Cardinals are in San Francisco to match up against the Giants. We're going to talk some college football here for a little while. Happy to welcome back onto the program. He is the publisher of College Football News at collegefootballnews.com. He is Pete Futak. You follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak. Pete, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. When I originally wanted to have you on, I want to talk mainly Missouri and Illinois, and we'll get to that. But we did have some pretty big college football news today as Oklahoma State makes the decision to move on from Mike Gundy. He's been there a long time. He's had a ton of success. He really lifted that program. But they had fallen on hard times in recent years. They lose a home game to Tulsa. You just can't do that. And now all of a sudden, another pretty high-profile coaching job is available in college football.
Kind of crazy, and it's not just, you know, for the last few years, because remember, they started 3-0 last year, and it was the new Big 12, there's no Oklahoma or Texas, and, you know, everything's going to change, and Oklahoma State was going to be one of the new stars of the conference, and then a bunch of injuries hit, they had no luck, they were in every game, just about every game, but then they lose their last nine, and the prevailing thought was that, okay, well, it's a blip, and they'll just come back and be fine, and they came back worse, and got blown out by Oregon. You can't lose to Tulsa. And so just like that, here's this guy who, you know, I will, you know, can't say something nice about him. I didn't like dealing with him personally, but still one of the best head coaches, you know, who did all this winning without the talent of an Oklahoma or a Texas. And just that 20 years of, you know, being great for the program, at least in terms of wins and losses, and just had one long streak and gone. So that was pretty fast.
Does he pop up again somewhere, or is this a guy who maybe transitions to something else, TV or something? It feels like from a national perspective, he's not exactly the most liked individual. Like, I don't know if you win the press conference bringing him in.
You know, it's one of those things where sometimes, well, we would see, because sometimes the people that the press does not like the most turn out to be pretty decent analysts. I mean, A.J. Pruszynski, for one, in the baseball world, is probably right up there. He's turned out to be pretty good and was not necessarily like Sterling Sharp was another. And, you know, certainly it happens. It could be he could turn into a personality real quick. So I could see him becoming like a color commentator or just, you know, an offensive coordinator someplace big, you know, and just kind of like taking a break from the head coaching duties and just, you know, kind of handling just doing the work of football, because sometimes these coaches at this point just like coaching football. And it's kind of hard to do that now in college because you have to be a CEO, a COO, and you have to deal with NIL and all the other stuff, the other parts of this thing. Sometimes these coaches just need just to take a big breath, take, you know, just relax and just go be a coach for a little while. And I think he's the type of guy who'd like to do that.
It wasn't that long ago that college football midseason firings were pretty rare, and now we're a month or so into the season, and there's, what, I guess three fairly high-profile jobs that have already come available. What is this connected to the businessification of college football with NIL and everything, that it's almost that much more like the NFL?
Yeah, that side of things, you do have money coming in from different sides, and you're starting now to try to figure out who's going to be the next person in place. And the other part of this thing, too, is it got rid of the idea of, oh, well, we can't get rid of our coach now because our recruiting class is going to suffer. Because recruiting classes still matter to a certain extent. You still need the, you know, you can't be all frosting and no cake. You got to have, you know, something there to build on. But not like it used to be. It used to be you can't fire a coach, like you said, because about the seniors and about this, about that. But no, if the guy's not getting the job done, and it's better to kind of, you know, go a different direction. The problem is when you fire a head coach, you really do kill the season. I mean, I think Tim Skipper is a pretty good coach, but UCLA might not win a game this year. You know, it's not that Deshaun Foster was going to change anything different, but like that's different there. And Oklahoma State now seems like a free space. So you really are kind of giving up on the year, which it's an interesting way to do it. But at the same time, you do have very screamy alumni type people who just want to see something happen. And they want to know that, oh, we get it. We're as mad as you are about us losing two football games or whatever. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes in Wisconsin going forward, see how it goes at, you know, some of these other spots. And certainly right out of the gate, Bill Belichick's not exactly doing a great job. So we'll see how this goes over the next few weeks.
All right, let's get into a couple teams here in the area that had very different weekends this past weekend. Missouri, they knock off South Carolina at home 29-20. That was a motivated South Carolina team coming off a loss at home to Vanderbilt the week before. Missouri's now sitting 4-0. They've won a rivalry game against Kansas. They've won a game against a good SEC opponent. They're in the top 25. When you look at this Mizzou team, what do you view their ceiling being?
Get to 10 wins. And speaking of new era, it's a new way to look at things. And to win a national championship or to really, it's not like basketball where all your goal is to get in the NCAA tournament. Maybe you get hot for 3 weeks. Maybe somehow you get a little luck with upsets and the bracket turns out right. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the Elite Eight and there, but for, you know, a shot here, a shot there, you've got a shot at something big. College football doesn't work like that. You're not going to just, you have to be one of the true elite of the elite of the elite that year, a powerhouse. You're never going to see a Boise State somehow get to the national championship unless something crazy happens. So if you're a Missouri or you're like a team that's maybe fourth or fifth best in the conference, yeah, if everything breaks right, you can get to the SEC championship and see who goes there. But realistically, if the SEC, if you go 10-2 with an SEC schedule, you're going to find your way into the college football playoff. 9-3, as we've learned, probably not. But 10-2, almost certainly, if you're from the SEC or the Big Ten, you're going
to
get in.
Their schedule, they're playing six straight home games to start the year. So their second half of the season it's a lot tougher. But you look at the season and you what's the path to 10 wins? Well, can they, their home field is great. Can they beat Alabama? Maybe going to Vanderbilt could be tough. Playing Texas A&M tough. Playing at Oklahoma tough. But there's still a lot of winnable games. It seems like on the schedule for Mizzou.
And it comes down to, well, if you're good, win some of these.
Yeah.
You know, like it's yes, some teams get more brutal schedules than others. And Missouri's schedule does get far more difficult. But I think UMass this week.
Yeah.
So you're 5-0. So you got to get five more wins somehow. So if you're that good, if you're a college football playoff good, yeah, you know what? Florida State was able to take care of Alabama, you know, rise up on the right day and win it. Again, you know, I'm not going to say Missouri, you know, can't do anything big because this is not a year where there's an absolute killer in the SEC. Everyone in the SEC looks relatively vulnerable, except for actually Vanderbilt so far in a weird way, but that's Vanderbilt. So if you're Mizzou, you're not looking at there's not like a, oh, dear God, we can't get Alabama this year. Or, oh, man, Georgia's at another level. So, yeah, if you're Mizzou, you're hoping to kind of catch the right breaks at the right time. Who knows if John Mateer's hand is going to be healthy, you know, when they get Oklahoma. Who knows, you know, what's going to happen. So, yeah, right, they've done what they needed to do. I mean, South Carolina's a good team. They took care of them. Kansas is really dangerous, took care of that. And so if you've got five straight games at home, go 5-0 and go from there.
Pete, I was firmly on the Illinois bandwagon. I think I'm still kind of on it, but
yeah.
Man, I was really disappointed in the. And maybe just more credit needs to go to Indiana. Maybe Indiana's better than I was giving them credit for, but that was not a good performance this past weekend from Illinois.
It just was one of those games where I kind of took it as they just, for some reason, they just didn't have it. It's just some days your team is just not there. They can't figure out how to hit the curveball. And Indiana came out just red hot and rolling, and it just all fell apart from there. I still believe in Illinois. That's a team, if you look at its schedule, yeah, again, Big Ten, same thing. Get to 10-2 and you're in. And Illinois can still do that. They still have – they get Ohio State at home. And this is kind of one of those quirky, weird teams that they could still lose again and beat Ohio State. So we'll see this weekend. This is they get USC. That is a funky test that they're going to have to deal with. Because USC might just be that good. And then for Indiana, let's see at Iowa. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who just think, well, this is where, you know, Indiana starts to look the part. I'm like, not really. You know, this is one of the best coached teams in the country. They throw the ball well. Iowa couldn't stop the Rutgers passing game early on. So if, you know, Indiana, like, it's the question of all the offseason, well, who's this year's Indiana? Well, it's probably Indiana. The problem is they have to go to Oregon and to Penn State. So obviously that's probably two baked-in losses, but everything else looks pretty good for them.
You should make collegefootballnews.com part of your everyday reading. Great content all the time. You can follow everything happening in college football. Again, collegefootballnews.com. And Pete Futak is their publisher, does a great job with it. Pete, thanks so much for taking the time. Hopefully we can catch up with you again a time or two here during the season.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
Awesome. Very good. That's Pete Futak joining us on the program. Again, the website at collegefootballnews.com. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. Here's what we've still got coming up on the show tonight. Again, we've got you for just under an hour more. We're done just a little bit early tonight as we get out of here for Cardinals baseball. Cardinals pregame is going to start in 1 hour and 1 minute at 7:50 tonight as they match up against the San Francisco Giants. So we'll take you till then. Our friend Joe Rodriguez from STL Sports Central. He's going to join us after the 7 o'clock news. And we've got a few other things to get to as well. Might even get the opportunity to open up the phone lines if you want to talk some Cardinals baseball during the 7 o'clock hour. That's all coming up. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it as we start to wrap up hour number one of the program. Again, we've got Cardinals baseball coming your way in a little bit less than an hour for our pregame show as they match up against the San Francisco Giants tonight. First pitch is scheduled for 8:45 Central Time. Andre Pallante is going to be on the mound tonight. We'll talk more about Andre Pallante in the second hour. But I'd love to see him finish off the year with a little bit of momentum here, have a good start tonight. I'm so curious what they're going to do moving forward, just building the roster. I was joking around earlier with Kevin about what if there is a scenario where they move on from Lars Nootbaar, Nolan Gorman, Brendan, like everybody that we talk about, well, they could possibly get traded. What if there's a scenario where they all get traded? And then all of a sudden, Thomas Tejesi is your starting second baseman, and J.J. Weatherholt is your starting third baseman. And is that a possibility? It seems pretty extreme. It seems unlikely, but building this thing back up from the ground up to where they can get back to feeling like that this organization's humming along, and allowing Heim Bloom to build this organization in the way that he wants it to be built again from the ground up. There's going to be value in that. So I think my number one question, and we'll get a little bit of an idea on the answer to this when we hear from individuals next week, but is this more about kind of staying the course on what they've done this year in playing a lot of young players, not bringing in a lot from the outside, be somewhat competitive at the big league level? If everything, you know, breaks right, maybe you make it into the playoffs while there's a lot of other stuff going on and eventually it's going to be a lot better. Are they going to tear this thing down? Are they going to tear this thing all the way down and try to infuse as much young talent in the organization as possible and go from there? And then when you have somebody like Andre Pallante, where does that put him going into next year? Because it feels like he's not going to be guaranteed anything in spring training based off the way his season has ended. But at the same time, what are you going to have in the rotation? We'll talk more about that after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.